the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to this program, today's special. Our topic is about the concept of wealth in Islam. We invite you to listen to today's special.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس، أغدق لنا إحساس
أنت هاي.
Today, Monday, is the 28th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As every work, every job, everything will start with the Holy Quran. We open today's special by recitation of Surah Al-Anfal, verses 2-3.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ
The believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful, and when His verses are recited to them, it increases them in faith, and upon their Lord they rely.
الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
The ones who establish prayer and from what we have provided them they spend
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The true believers are those who are in awe of Allah because of His glorification and veneration. That is when the speech is delivered upon Allah's justice, retribution, and power they dread, and when the speech is about His bounties. Kindness, graces, and rewards, they feel peace in themselves. Moreover, whenever a believer remembers the divine bounties and forgiveness of Allah, he obtains a favorable opinion and he rests. But when he remembers his own sins, he becomes inconvenient and anxious.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Now spending wealth, the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, We, prophets, were not sent to amass the wealth, but to spend it. Indeed, Allah created the earth and supplied it with ample provision for all human beings. In it we find grains, fruits, vegetables, trees, animals, seas, fish, metals like iron, gold, silver, platinum, copper, and etc. And of course, oil. Other materials lie in the depth of the earth to satisfy the needs of people, like diamonds and coal. If these provisions are distributed equally among mankind, no one on this earth will remain in poverty. The Prophet of Allah explains to the Muslims how to distribute property, provisions and charity to all people. He says, Surely Allah sent the prophets to spend wealth on the needy and to teach people the way of spending. Allah never sent prophets to amass wealth and forget the poor. The prophets forbade the rich from amassing wealth and saving it in banks and treasuries, while others are left to live in miserable poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about wealth in Islam. One cannot say whether wealth is good or bad. It depends on the application, I mean, to which wealth may be put. At the same time, we find that throughout history and in all human civilizations, there have been many tribes, many communities of people, where some people or some tribes who had much power, they tried to acquire more wealth, either by attacking other people, other peoples, or other tribes, or throughout being involved in commerce, I mean, buying and selling goods and so on. Nowadays, tribe life is very much not in common. I mean, tribal life isn't that much practiced in the world. We find that the same nature or the same attitude has remained among people, in the sense that we find that great companies or great powers in the world, they have much wealth and they usually don't allow poor people to join them. And through being a closed, wealthy circle of people or communities or companies, they try to add to the wealth. And in this way, they become wealthier and wealthier in contrast to other people or poor people who may become much poorer than before.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
This part entitled Essential Islamic Teachings on Wealth. It is never acceptable to earn a living by doing wrong. Muslims must earn their wealth in a lawful or halal way. It is not to be earned by selling or buying things that God forbids us, such as alcohol or pork, or by engaging in illegal activities. God advises them against this. He says in chapter 4, verse 24, O you who have believed, do not consume one another's wealth unjustly, but only in lawful business by mutual consent.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
tips part, to simplify our spending. Dear friend, make a personal financial plan a second grader could understand. When people hear a budget, they may think of cold accountants, expressionlessly number crunching over a stack of papers. but your personal budget do not have to be this way. If you like computers, get a program that can help you do this. If not, get a notebook or a folder and start doing this. Make it simple. Picture yourself as a second grader and ask yourself how you would budget your money. Remember, the only math functions you really need for this are what you probably learned in grade 2. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division.
In psychology, it has a term. They have a term to describe this state of the human being. They call it the hedonic treadmill. Google it. They call the state the hedonic treadmill. It's like you're on a treadmill. Just to stay at one point, you have to walk. Just to stay at the same point. When you walk on a treadmill, you don't get any further. You walk just to stay at the same very point. Because if you don't walk, you're going to fall behind. This is how we human beings are with our happiness, with materialism. If you want to stay happy with materialistic things, it's an uphill battle. You have to always run and walk just to stay at the same level of happiness. Because once you buy that thing, the fun, the excitement will only last a few days. And then you'll go back to square one. Now you need to look for the next best thing, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. And it never ends, doesn't it? Because our desires keep on evolving. Whatever we get, no matter how great it is, after a few days, it gets old. It gets normal. It gets boring. And now we want something better and newer and greater. So our desires keep on evolving and we keep on wanting more and more and more. And does it ever end? It never ends. All of this, my friends, was mentioned more than 1200 years ago by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In such a beautiful hadith, he describes this phenomenon that we see. You know, the hedonic treadmill, the fact that we will never get enough of this dunya. He mentioned this 1200 years ago. He said, مَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in this hadith, he says that the dunya is like salt water. The dunya is like salt water. The more you drink, he says, كُلَّمَا شَرِبَ مِنْهُ الْعَطْشَانِ ازْدَادَ عَطَشًا. The more you drink, the thirstier you get.
Dear friends, thank you for being with us till this part and part of today's special. We were speaking about wealth in Islam. Inshallah, we'll continue on another episode of today's special. So don't forget us on IRIB English Radio, today's special. Have a nice time.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they you are guiding me through.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about starting the day by pondering on the words of the Prophet of Islam regarding his divinely decreed vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Nobody properly knows Allah except me and Adi. Nobody properly knows me except Allah and Ali. Nobody properly knows Ali except Allah and me.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Currently we are discussing the book of the intellect from Al-Kahf, which is the first book of our first book of, you know, our main books are of traditions of Hadith from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, known as Al-Kahfi. And we are in the principal part of the what is known as the Usul Al-Kahfi. So in this tradition, which is very beautiful, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Imam mentions how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us as human beings. Obviously this requires an understanding of, you know, some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what should be known is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the main goals of speaking to his servants, obviously not in a direct way, for example, we as Muslims believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of, you know, Hadith Qudsi, for example. But Hadith Qudsi is something that was then written down. So, and again, there's a whole, you know, discussion on what Hadith Qudsi actually is. But then we have the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Holy Prophet verbatim told the scribes around him that this was revealed to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so write it down. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses individuals, there is a manner by which he has to address them. For example, a professor at university, if he wants to speak to a 10-year-old child, he cannot use the same lingo he uses and the same parlance he uses in a particular university setting. He cannot use those terminologies. If he wants to explain a concept to a child, there is a certain way he has to explain to that child. Similarly here, we as human beings, our intellects, our capacity of understanding, yes, it is the highest of any animal in the logical sense of the word. But again, it is far less than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can actually do. And therefore we see in this tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who quotes the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is now saying that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to individuals in a manner by which they understood. Just the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did so from the Holy Quran. Why? Because the Holy Prophet has to explain to people what their duties are and explain to them in a manner by which they understand. Not in a way that he understood it. Just as the professor has to explain to a child, the Holy Prophet explained to us, his children. So Imam Sadiq says, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never spoke to people using the highest levels of his intellect. That is the intellect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned.
Oh,
this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Dr. Keith L. Moore, Professor Emeritus of Department of Anatomy and Cell Biology at University of Toronto, who is a distinguished embryologist and the author of several medical textbooks, said, "It has been a great pleasure for me to help clarify statements in the Quran about human development. It is clear to me that these statements must have come to Muhammad from God or Allah, because most of this knowledge was not discovered until many centuries later. This proves to me that Muhammad must have been a messenger of God or Allah." Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 67 to 70 of Surah An-Nahl, recited by Sheikh Abu al-Aynain Shu'aisha. Let's enjoy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن ثمرات النخيل والأعناب تتخذون منه سكرا
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah An-Nahl, verses 67 to 70. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن ثمرات we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة we have to approximate the place of articulation of fe, and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. وَمِن ثَمَرَاتٍ. As you can see, we are hinting the place of articulation of fe, and it's as if we can guess that fe is going to come after nun sakina. وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ. نَخِيلِ, the خَا has a يَاءُ الْمَدْ, so we have the lowest level of تَفْخِيم. وَالْأَعْنَابِ تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا. سَكَرًا, we have إدغام of نون ساكنة مع الغنة. The nun sakina of the tanween is not pronounced. Instead, the waw is pronounced with shatta. So we say, sakaran rizqan hasana. Inna fi dhalika la ayatan liqawmin ya'qilun. In the word qawm, we have a qaf. Qaf is a letter of tafkhim. So we have to pronounce it with tafkhim. We say qawm. We don't say qawm. Verse 68. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا. If you stop on buyuta, the tanween is removed and you would have to pronounce it like an alif al-mad. But if you do wasl, meaning if you continue, you would have to say, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرُ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرُ. So we have إِدْغَام of نُون سَاكِنَا مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ. The next verse. Of course, بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ. Ya'rishun, we have ayin. We have to pronounce it from the deepest, deep in the throat, in the middle part of the throat, and we have to make sure that there's no movement, qalqala-like movement. Ya'rishun, not ya'rishun. Ya'rishun is incorrect. Verse 69. Thumma kuli min kulli thamarati fasluki min kulli. In this phrase, we have again ikhfa of nun sakina. Min kulli, we have a nun sakina that's followed by the letter kaf. So we have to approximate the, or we could also place the tongue in the place of articulation of kaf. And this is an exception to the rule of ikhfa. So you can say min kulli, or you can say min kulli by approximating kaf. Both are correct. Fasluki subula rabbiki dhulula. Fasluki subula rabbiki dhulula. You have to make sure that you are careful that you pronounce the short vowels correctly, because it's a little difficult. Subula rabbiki dhulula. We have two dhammas one after another, and we have two kasras, rabbiki, and again two dhammas right after another. يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ. We have iqlab of nun sakina in the phrase مِن بُطُونِهَا. We have to close the mouth a little bit and make sure that there's a small gap in between the lips. Okay, and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Okay, that's it for today's lesson. We ran out of time, unfortunately, to continue the next verse. May Allah bless all of you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode or another, you know, program where which we discuss some of the miraculous aspects of the Holy Quran, especially those aspects which, you know, attracted the hearts of the Arabs at that particular time. Many stories have been mentioned in this regard. And as I mentioned previously, this miraculous nature of the Holy Quran, especially which deals with any aspect of the Arabic language, will require a person to have a good grasp and a deep understanding of the subtleties of the Arabic language, not just in terms of its morphology or in terms of its grammar and sentence structure, but in terms of its subtleties, its eloquence, its rhetoric, and so on and so forth. So in this segment, we'll be looking at a verse from Surah Hijr, the 94th verse of the 15th surah of the Holy Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do something. The translation of the verse is, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So proclaim what you have been commanded and turn away from the polytheists. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, to deliver what has been asked of him again. And the word that is used in this word is sada'a. The verse is fasda' bima tu'mar. And the eloquence of this verse, or the word sada'a, means to, in its linguistic meaning, to break something in such a way that it is impossible for you to bring it back together. So this word sada'a in this verse is that you do something in such a way that it cannot be broken by anybody else, or it cannot be, you know, brought back. So you break this belief of these mushrikeen and these polytheists in such a way that they have no way to bring it back, and you replace it with something that never ever can be broken in such a way. That is the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is mentioned in certain books that a person by the name of Abu Ubaidah says that an Arab came across this verse, Fasda' bima tu'mar, and he went into sajda immediately. So when it was told to this Arab that, why are you going into sajda, why are you going into prostration? This is not a verse that requires you to go into prostration. He says that this verse, and because of the eloquence of this verse, I could not help myself. No, I had to go into sajda. And this is not something odd. It has happened so many times that even great scholars such as the commentator on the Nahj al-Balagha says, relating to the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So imagine an Arab who had the ability to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listener of Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
We continue in our discussion by looking at the second commandment of the 10 that we want to cover. And that is the commandment to be good to our parents. Let me first start with the verse, or the two verses rather, from verse 23 and 24 of Surah Bani Israel for tonight. As we mentioned last night, the verse begins, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا, that your Lord has obligated, has commanded, has written down in stone, that you worship none except for Him. And then he says two powerful words, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that you be good to your parents. And that's all Allah says in the beginning part. What does He say after that? That if your parents, either one of them or both of them, reach to an old age and they're with you, or you're living at the time and they reach to an old age, He says, فَلَا تَكُلْ لَهُمَ أُفٍّ, do not say to them even uff. And I'll go over what some of these words mean so we can understand this verse tonight. Allah says, do not even say uff to them. And then He says, وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, do not even drive them away, do not push them away from you, and speak to them, what He says is قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, a noble word, a beautiful way of speaking to your parents. And then in the next verse, what does He say? He says, وَخْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاهَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, a very beautiful similitude or parable Allah is about to give, a very beautiful pictorial representation. He says, lower the wing of humility, of mercy unto your mother and father. And then we make a dua, we make a prayer to Allah for our parents. And we say, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, O my Lord, have mercy upon my parents, just as they took care and brought me up when I was young. So in these two verses, we actually see two things. We see a mode of conduct, how we deal with our parents, whether they're young or old, whether they're alive or even if they've passed away, and how to make dua for our mother and father. And we'll try to go over both of these points tonight. The first thing that we have to realize is the hadith that we have, the traditions of the Prophet and his noble family, which speak about the role of the parents, really the number of hadith we have is staggering. There are, I don't want to say thousands, but there are countless traditions which speak about the status of the mother and the father. And the one interesting thing that you see in a lot of the traditions, as you see in the four ayat of the Quran that speak about ihsan to the parents, is that Allah does not differentiate between a Muslim parent and a non-Muslim parent. Some people come to me and say, well, I'm a Muslim, but my parents have not accepted Islam. Should I respect them? Actually, the hadith tell us that you should have more love and respect for your parents when you come into Islam. Right? People say, well, my parents are sinners. They commit haram. They don't listen to the rules of Allah. They break the rules of Allah. Should I respect them? Again, the answer we get from Ali Muhammad is yes, even in that circumstance and situation, you still owe them a level of respect. Whatever they do, the sins that our parents do, that's between them and Allah. If you as a young man or woman cannot encourage the good, cannot forbid the evil, cannot help your parents out of that situation, their accountability is with Allah. But our accountability is with our parents. We still respect them. And actually, it's at such a level where at the time of one of the latter khalifas of the Banu Abbas, the Abbasid dynasty, One of the Khalifas who was obviously, and they were all corrupt, Bani Umayyah, Bani Abbas, there were very few people who were in charge of authority that were good people. Other than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, all the other Khulafa were pretty much corrupt. Let me mention a hadith that we have from Rasulullah where he speaks about the parents. And it seems like an exaggeration from Rasulullah. But you know, we believe that Rasulullah speaks nothing except for revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever Rasulullah says from his blessed mouth is guidance from Allah. He doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't speak, you know, excessively or obsessively. He speaks the reality of what it is. And so Rasulullah, when he was speaking to his companions, those respectable men and women that believed in him, he says in the hadith, مَا وَلَدٌ بَارٌ نَذْرَ إِلَىٰ أَبَوَيْهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ نَذْرَةٍ هِجَّةٌ مَبْرُورَةٌ. He says there's not a single righteous child, male or female, that looks towards their parents with a look of rahmah, a look of mercy, a look of love, a look of compassion. Not that you look at your mother with hatred in your face, that why is she wanting me to clean my room, do the dishes, do this, do that. No, he says you look at your mother with rahmah, with an eye of love. Rasulullah says that anybody who does this, they get for every look at their parents, they get the reward of a hajj, which has been accepted. There's one thing to do hajj, and there's one thing to do a hajj which is accepted by Allah. How many people go for hajj? I know people, 40 years, every year they go for hajj. But how many of them are accepted by Allah? Only Allah knows. But Rasulullah says, if you look at your mother and father with love, with rahmah, with compassion, with mercy, every time you look at them, you get the reward of one accepted hajj. So the sahaba, the companion said to Rasulullah, فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِن نَذْرَ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِيَةَ نَذْرَ. Even if we look to our mother and father 100 times a day, they had a limited capacity to understand. Maybe they were trying to limit Allah's rewards, right? Because sometimes people take Allah to be like you and I, that if I have $10 in my pocket and I give you $10, I'm broke, I've got nothing to give. But with Allah, the more He gives, the more He has. Right? And we say this in one of the du'as, I think in the month of Rajab or Sha'aban, that when Allah gives, the more He gives, it only increases in the more that He can give to us. So the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, if I look at my parents 100 times a day, can Allah really give me 100 accepted hajj? He says, Na'am. Of course, yeah. Allahu Akbaru wa Atyabu. Allah is greater, He's much better than you think. He could limit your reward. There's no limits in the treasures of Allah. Allah's reserves of bounties, of blessings are immeasurable. وَإِن تُعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you and I would try to count one of the blessings of Allah, we could not do it. And imagine how many blessings Allah has given on this earth, on this planet, in the universe, in the entire solar system, in the material world, in the immaterial world. There's so much that we don't know. And Allah, the more He gives, the more He has to give.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على
محمد وآل محمد
يا مؤمنين
صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of the Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'an adahum ajma'in.
So dear listeners, we were talking about the divine love, true love, in the supplications of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and the important and crucial role it plays in the closeness of the supplicant to the Almighty Allah, since its role is